This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Cancer and its treatments can wreak havoc on our entire bodies. But what can happen to our teeth, and what should we be doing about it? Here with the answers to these questions is Dr. Patrick Smith, an assistant professor of surgery and the residency program director of the dental service and clinic at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Smith. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
So there are really special concerns for our teeth during due to cancer, the disease, and its treatments, I guess.
That is correct. Teeth are a particular, almost you want to think of them as an organ of the body that needs its own particular attention. And so it requires special care when we learn of a cancer diagnosis.
Let's start with something that really starts in the home of the mouth, which is oral cancer, because that's one particular kind of cancer.
Correct.
Tell us about what exactly is it?
Oral cancer? Well, there's various versions of oral cancer. The most common I think people hear about are cancers of the tongue or the cheeks themselves, the inside lining of the cheeks, that is. Some people have issues with a little bit deeper into the mouth, so we worry about the voice box. And so each of these areas has their own particular needs and treatment plans.
What kind of symptoms would we notice if we were developing an oral cancer? And what would people be on the lookout for?
Well, honestly, sometimes they're symptomless. Sometimes we'll find a white spot or a red spot in the mouth when we're doing a routine exam. Sometimes a patient will notice something in their mouth that looks different. Their denture doesn't fit quite right like it used to. And sometimes that's what brings them in for a review.
Sometimes is there bleeding that takes place that is otherwise unexplained?
Sure, there can be those areas that will bleed, such as the cheek that we talked about. Are they sometimes sore? Absolutely. And again, sometimes that's because it's a rough area. Patients just happen to notice that this doesn't seem to go away. And sometimes that's the worst part, is that patients fear that this may be something bad, when in fact it may be just a broken tooth, a rough denture spot that needs to be looked at by the professional to take care of it. But oftentimes that's what brings folks in initially.
How about things like hoarseness? You were talking about it going further back in the throat.
A hoarseness that can't be explained. You know, when a patient has a lingering hoarseness for weeks and they perhaps have seen their primary, there is no particular diagnosis, or they think it's viral, but yet it persists for another month, that's not really normal. So that should be evaluated by a specialist.
And is there ever a problem with difficulty with chewing or swallowing, that kind of thing? Does that sometimes accompany oral cancer?
Again, if it's long-term, it's been going on for weeks and or months, absolutely, that's something that should be looked at, just to make sure it's a benign process, or if it's not, that it be evaluated, perhaps biopsied, and then some evaluations and treatment options provided.
So who are the kinds of people that get oral cancer, or what kind of causes oral cancer?
Sure. The folks that we see that have probably the highest percentage of cancers in the mouth are going to be folks kind of with, unfortunately, the most obvious things you think of: smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, even like chewing tobacco. That's one that we highlight frequently because it's so obvious to us. We oftentimes will review that with the patient and talk to them about the hazards of it. Many times you may actually see almost like a, I don't want to say precancerous lesion, but something that you realize is not quite correct. So we will oftentimes take a picture of that area of the mouth, review that with the patient so that they're aware of it, and talk to them about, or counsel them about, tobacco cessation. There are options for everybody with regards to giving them substitutes to kind of get them off the habit of tobacco. But I'd say tobacco and alcohol certainly are the most prevalent areas that need help in reducing those kinds of habits.
But there are other causes. In other words, there are some people maybe with family histories, or I read somewhere that up to 25% of all oral cancers do occur in people who don't even drink excessively or smoke.
Correct. And there are there are areas now which have gathered some more notoriety, such as the HPV virus, human papillomavirus, which is really, what does it really cause? It causes warts. But there are many versions of those. And so those in more recent years have become recognized as causing some forms of oral cancer.
So it's something you really want to be on the watch for.
Correct.
And especially if you have constant dental care, then clearly your dentist is on the watch for it.
Yes. I mean, you should ask your dentist if they routinely perform an oral cancer screen on you when you go in for your six-month recalls. That's one of the important facets I think is lost on the general public, is that dentists do perform oral cancer screening, and that is just part of your normal routine six-month hygiene recall.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Patrick Smith, and we're talking about cancer and how it can affect our dentition. And particularly today, we've started talking about oral cancer. What exactly, or how exactly, is oral cancer treated?
I'd say there's a variety of means to treat it. Really, when you think about oral cancer, it's like any other cancer of the body, and oftentimes we'll respond in the same fashion. So we look at chemotherapy options, of course, surgery options. Sometimes when you have more advanced stages of cancer of the mouth, you want to treat it in an effort to shrink it before you actually perform surgery. So many oncology teams will try chemo first, followed by some radiation. They don't always go together. Sometimes it's just chemotherapy first, followed by evaluation and a determination on whether they need to perform surgery or not to remove that area of concern. Most oftentimes, I'll tell you, most surgeons do want to just remove the area of concern to be thorough about it.
Make sure that there's nothing left behind.
Correct.
So getting back to our initial premise, how does all of that affect our teeth or our mouths? In other words, any of these treatments, whether they be surgical, and now we're talking about in the mouth, but surgery obviously is localized to the mouth, but things like chemo or things like radiation, well, more chemo, affects the whole body. So how does that then come back and affect the teeth?
Well, the biggest problem area I think we see following treatment is going to be dry mouth, especially with oral cancers. Radiation treatment to the head and neck area almost universally always leads to dry mouth or xerostomia. And in those situations, significant really counseling and preventative measures are important to make sure that we maintain the teeth. Very important that if someone has an early diagnosis, that they visit their dentist ahead of time to determine if they have any particular areas of concern, meaning do they have potential for abscess development? Do they have decay in their teeth? Whenever you have a dry mouth condition develop, any...
Can you define that a bit more? When you say dry mouth, what exactly do you mean?
Dry mouth really is any condition in which the patient notes that they are less moist than they used to be.
So do they feel thirsty all the time?
May not be a thirsty issue. That may be a side effect that you think you're thirsty. You're just not producing saliva like you once did. So why is that bad? Well, any plaque or calculus that exists on the teeth will only accelerate potential decay. And so it's something we see time and time again where patients come in and have had radiation in particular, and now they have significant decay patterns, because that really can cause a lot of problems post-treatment for the patients.
So is it the dry mouth environment that's caused by the treatment that then speeds up some of the decay processes and things that you're talking about?
Primarily, it's the radiation treatment. Radiation really dries out the salivary glands, and that's a long-term process, not something that you're going to recover from quickly. In fact, some patients never recover, so it's important that we treat those issues early.
So what happens if you don't have a dentist? What would you do? What do you recommend?
Really, I think the best approach in those situations is to ask your oncology team for a referral. Oftentimes, they do work with someone, perhaps in-house, so to speak, at the hospital in which you're being treated. Here at Upstate, of course, we have our dental service, and so we work closely with our oncology associates for those folks who need help.
So there are ongoing treatments to prevent the effects of dry mouth and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Most of that really is at-home care.
Right.
We can't stress enough the importance of at-home care for the patients to make sure that they're providing themselves with a clean environment in their mouth. And that really is their best asset. Fluoride treatments, obviously routine brushing, routine checkups. And sometimes we'll accelerate those. Instead of 6 months, we'll do 4-month checkups just to provide the best environment for the mouth.
So it sounds to me, I don't want to run out of time, in the little bit of time we have left, that whether you have oral cancer or kidney cancer or some other kind of cancer in the body, you may be getting radiation, you may be getting chemotherapy, and you may be getting surgery. Do those other cancers or the treatments for those other cancers impact similarly on the mouth?
They can to some degree. The chemotherapy that people may receive also can cause dry mouth. Some of the medications will also facilitate dry mouth. So it's always important to go for a routine checkup. We can't stress that enough.
So it's really important to speak to your dentist or your oncology team and find a dentist and make sure that you're really caring for your
Absolutely.
Mouth throughout that whole thing. Well, thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Patrick Smith. He's an assistant professor of surgery and the residency program director of the Dental Service and Clinic at Upstate Medical University.